It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Home Run Derby on your home of the champs tonight right here, 7 o'clock. All-Star Game itself on tomorrow. The broadcast will start at 6 o'clock, so thanks for making us part of your day. We'll be at the ballpark on Friday when the Rangers return to action as Casey Stern, host of the Unfiltered podcast, joins us now here on The Fan. Good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up, boys? How we doing? Happy All-Star break.
Man, it's great to hear from you. I don't think we're doing as good as like the last 3 or 4 times we talked to you when they were on their way to being the champs and then trying to back that up. But here at the break, at least we've gotten a respite from the losing, and it appears the last 4 series or so, we might be turning a corner here. What do you think about that idea?
Well, I think especially when you look at a series and closing out before the break against Houston, you got to feel pretty confident about that, especially when you're winning close games. When you think about the stretch that Eovaldi's been on, when you think about Max, stretching out a little bit, and even though not deep in a game, it's feeling like, and you kind of want to believe him that, he's starting to get his stuff down to where it needs to be and continue to motivate forward. You start to get a little healthier as a team, and you kind of realize that you're right there. I mean, you forget about just in the wild card, what, 5 out of the division, I believe, and all things considered, be thankful that Seattle can't hit, and be thankful that the Astros had a rough start, and you're still right in this thing. And when you leave a champ sitting there around 7-8 in a 12-round fight, and they're still in it, and they got Bruce Bochy in the corner, like Mickey in the Rocky movies, I think you're in good shape. So, do I think the Rangers right now feel as good or should as they would have liked before the season began? No, but they feel a heck of a lot better than they did 3-4 weeks ago, and that's saying something coming into the break.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the trade deadline market right now, Casey, if you're CY, is there anybody out there that you really are looking to go and pursue? Maybe it's bullpen help. I don't know that there's a bat that really is something where they're like, man, that's really going to be helpful, or are we just going to overpay for this guy because of all the injuries they've had? Like, you're hoping to get Young back. You're hoping to get Carter back. Is this more of like, let's hope for internal growth here in the second half?
Yeah, I think a lot of that, and I think, some tweaking. I think you're certainly adding an arm if you can, because I think they'd like their pitching depth to be a little bit deeper. Maybe a veteran bat who's got some experience, even if it's not somebody who plays every day, who kind of added to the mix. I think those are the kind of moves. I mean, it's going to be a weird deadline that way because there aren't as many big, impactful names that jump out unless you believe that a Vlad Guerrero, for example, is going to get traded, which I don't. So, I don't know how many major pieces that are going to go be cogs to go change your franchise are going to be out there. So you're going to see a lot of bullpen pieces move. There's going to be a lot of guys who are rentals. There's going to be a lot of fringe players. But I always bring up, sometimes those players make all the difference. I'm down here in Atlanta. It wasn't that long ago that the Atlanta Braves are sitting there on the precipice on the doorstep. Alex Anthopoulos goes and gets Jorge Soler and Jock Peterson, and they became two of the most important players on the team, winning a World Series, which nobody thought they would do. So it's not always the big names at the deadline, even though those guys will make waves. I think sometimes it's about the tweaking, and that's more where I think CY will go with the Ranger Club.
Casey, as you look at this, and you mentioned the division about with Seattle not hitting and all, and the Astros with the bad start. How would you handicap, though, the division in the second half? Say nobody makes a move. Say all 3 teams stand pat with what they have. How do you handicap this thing going in the second half?
I think it depends on health. I think if the Mariners don't add bats, even if they held on to win the division, they'd be out in the first round of the playoffs because as good as their pitching is, I mean, if they can't hit, and they cannot hit at all, I mean, how bad is it? They've allowed the least amount of runs in the American League, and their run differential is only 20-plus. Just comparatively, to give you an idea, the Phillies are well over 100. So if they don't get bats, forget it. They're finished, even if they get to the postseason, win a division. I think the Astros are very dangerous, and I know – you know, nobody wants to hear that in terms of, you know, your listening audience. And I don't mean dangerous necessarily to go win a World Series, but when you have the kind of pedigree that they have, the amount of times that they've been there and done that and been to the dance and the level of success that they expect, and you see the first halves of guys like Bregman and guys who have underperformed, and you think about what that can mean back in the baseball card for a second half, you think about all the issues they went through with Jose Abreu's failures and then being demoted and then being released. They got two starters in a rotation, get Tommy John, including Christian Javier, who I love and I think is one of the better young pitchers in the game. You don't get Verlander at the beginning of the season. And the list goes on and on and on. Valdez was down. How in the world are they here? The way that they're there is because of all that experience, and I think that's a dangerous thing heading down the stretch of the season because those guys and too many of them on that roster still know how to win.
Casey Stern talking baseball here from Unfiltered Podcast. If you were the front office, if you're Chris Young and ownership here at the break, you're meeting with them and they're saying, you know, we're struggling. It's not our year. Nobody goes back to back anymore. Maybe we should sell and start building for next year. Would you be mad at ownership? Would you be impressed with long-term vision? How would you react to that sort of a take if, you know, owners who are prone to do it this time of the summer are talking about saving money and adding prospects?
Yeah, I wouldn't be impressed or happy about it. You know, look, you're not in that spot. Now, things could change real quick. I'm going to go back to the worst example of the worst handling of the deadline, my 20-plus years covering the game, which is Artie Moreno and company and Ohtani going back a year ago, where, for people who don't remember, the Angels were terrible. They, like, won 6 out of 7 games on the other side of the break and climbed within, like, 6. They still weren't even good. They were under 500. And he took him off the table, decided not to sell when Ohtani was pitching, hitting home runs in the same game. And what happened? Of course, they lose 8 out of 10. He gets hurt, and they get nothing for him. If this team loses 7, 8 in a row, and all of a sudden you're 13 games under 500, and you got a couple of days to the deadline, then let's have a conversation. But where they are now, the way they played into the break, it doesn't make any sense for them to cut bait. You want to give me and sell me on what you said earlier? Hey, let's stand pat. Let's let health get back together. All we need to do is have kind of our troops together, and we've got what we need. Okay, you could sell me on that, and that's not selling or buying, but I don't think you could punt at all when you're sitting 5 out of a division off a championship with Bruce Bochy, who's not getting any younger, and he's not here to try and win in 10 years. He's trying to win now.
Do you like the new rules that we'll be able to see tonight for the Home Run Derby? Does the Home Run Derby still get you excited like maybe it used to?
Oh, I'm the worst guy to ask this question because I covered too many of these and they're so freaking long that it's like, it's too much for me. Like I did it for 14 years and, you know, I had the pleasure of sitting, I was kneeling down on the ground during what maybe the greatest, but at the time it was when Josh Hamilton was Josh Hamilton dead at Yankee Stadium and some great moments and Cano and his dad and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just too long. So I think the fact that they cut the amount of swings down, I think the fact that they made the beginning of the tournament a little different where the top four kind of advanced, more wide world of sports style, I think maybe is a little better. But at the end of the day, the Home Run Derby is what the Home Run Derby is. It's like, it's the best of the available skills competitions, if you will, because the slam dunk contest has become a decrepit thing over the last number of years. But to me, it's the same. And the names are good. I mean, look, you have Garcia, you got a lot, you got a bunch of guys who you sit there and you'd like to see. But is Ohtani in the Home Run Derby? No. Would I like him to be? Sure. The Home Run Derby for me, if you love it, I'm glad you love it. Enjoy the 17 hours of television. I think it's only 3+ that you will get and enjoy all the home runs. For me, give me a guy in right field with targets that say 10,000, 100,000, a million at third base for charity, and let me watch those guys throw for accuracy while I watch other dudes run 40-yard dashes and show off the athleticism of the sport. That would excite me.
Like a little combine style. I kind of like that as well. Wait, so you're not gambling on this tonight? Is that what you're telling me, Casey?
No, get out of here. On the Home Run Derby? Come on, man. I got 3 kids and too much shopping at Target to do to be gambling on the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, you got to go get that new pink Stanley.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking here in the second half? I mean, are you going Orioles in the American League? I mean, the National League, you nailed the Phillies run last year when we got to talk with you and them pulling the upset in the postseason.
Yeah, the Phillies to me, they're scarier than they were a year ago. There are not many teams outside of maybe Seattle and Philadelphia that could say they already have the pitching to go win a World Series. I think Zach Wheeler is the best big game pitcher right now in the sport based on what we saw the last couple of years. And what they've got with Suarez and Sanchez behind him, all-stars in those two, and Strom and Hoffman, they got like five pitchers on this all-star team. That's really dangerous that they can go out and tweak and add a bat to go to Turner, who's also an all-star, and Schwarber and Harper. The Phillies are really scary for me in the National League. And the AL side, I think all the pressure, if you were going to give me power rank, we talked deadline, top five teams under pressure in all 30, the Orioles and Yankees may be 1 and 2. If not, they're definitely in the top five, because I think you got to put the Dodgers in there too with what they come in with expectations. But the Orioles last year get Jack Flaherty. They didn't aim high enough. They got, I don't have to rush. We have so many prospects. We have so many young players. That's all great. But they have a chance to win the World Series now. They're good enough to do it. Burns was a huge addition. They need another bat. They need another arm. The Yankees, at the same time, have a lot of pressure because they don't know what's going to happen with Soto after this year. You've got a GM and a manager on the hot seat who both are going to want to push the pedal. The Orioles and the Yankees and the race for pitching and hitting that both of them will do against each other may determine the entirety of the American League.
It's Casey Stern from the Unfiltered Podcast. What's fair to expect from Jacob deGrom when and if he makes his return here?
Oh, hopefully health. I mean, I covered him. I love watching him pitch. What can you expect? I mean, not a lot of length. Obviously, bubble wrap. I mean, which is pretty much what you're going to be looking at whenever he gets back, because you just don't know when the next pitch is. And the sad part is that if you do that, you may limit yourself out of whatever time he's actually going to be healthy, because you may not be able to stop it. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen at this point. Arms aren't meant to go this way. He's also not a very large guy in terms of his build. So I hope for his health. I love watching him pitch. And I say this to people all the time. Look, I watched Pedro Martinez, covered him, then worked with him. I love Greg Maddux. I'm 45. I wasn't here with Bob Gibson and Sandy Koufax. But there aren't four guys that I would say I've ever seen more dominant in my lifetime than the level of dominance that Jacob deGrom was a couple of years ago. And there's no one in this sport right now, including Paul Skeens, who was more dominant than DeGrom was a couple of years ago. And that's saying something.
Wow.
Hey, Casey, back in the day when they used to like play this game for home field, and did you like when they did that?
No, because to me, this whole like this time it counts nonsense, you know what it is?
Sure.
Because I sat there and I covered it, and you've got teams like I remember like the Kansas City Royals who one year they're in it and then the next year they're terrible and they're the Royals again. And you got like Ned Yost and all his, he's in charge of deciding, and I love Ned, but making decisions on, the Yankees and Red Sox at the time. That doesn't make any sense to me. This doesn't have to have any additional juice. Give me Paul Skeens starting the game. That's what you could do for me, and we already got that, right? Mm-hmm. There's your viral moment. That's something we're all going to sit there and eat popcorn and go watch. But it's already – has anybody seen the NHL All-Star game? And I like what they've done with it, tweaking it with the 3-on-3 or whatever. But it's fine. The NBA All-Star game is the worst thing ever. And the Pro Bowl was so bad, they debunked the whole thing and made flag football with the Mannings out of it. It doesn't need anything to be better than it is. Just get your stars on the stage and let them do what they do. I think that's enough.
Casey Stern, Unfiltered, thank you so much for your time, sir. Enjoy the week.
Anytime, boys. Be well.
Cheers. I love that he said that, too. Baseball purists, baseball lovers, people passionate about baseball. They can usually take in, all the baseball content, but that's honesty to me.
Yeah.
Like it really got old around the time Chris Berman was just going back, gone. And it's the repetitiveness of it. There's nothing like unique about the different home runs, but I think if you're a super fan or a big fan of one of these guys, it is fun to like tune in to see the reactions. Like that's what's cool. Their buddies coming up to them from different teams and high-fiving them, or how impressed they are from some of the dongs. But it could be 3.5 hours. Now, the good news here, you're on your way home. You want to keep track of what we got going. You'll be able to tune in to the Home Run Derby if you're one of those super passionate baseball fans that consumes all the content starting at 7 o'clock this evening, Brian.
All right, real quick, when we on the other side of the break, can I ask you guys a question?
No.
Sure. Well, you want
to
do it now?
Yeah, it's Walchuk's segment next, so absolutely he'll not have to be the one to decide that.
Yeah, you can ask us a question.
I can ask you a question?
Yeah.
And it just need a quick answer from you guys.
Is it about something you just saw on TV?
No. I just have a question for you guys.
I'm looking forward to it.
A question from Brian and then Walchuk's top 10. Where are we going with that, sir?
Well, maybe I should scrap this after what we just discussed, but MLB's top 10 greatest moments in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah! Okay.
That's all right. Next.
Let's relive the greatness coming up next here in the nation.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10, but not before Brian asked this big question that he teased. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. Go to franklefirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. You're Wooly Bully.
Thank you very much. We'll get to the 10 greatest moments in the Home Run Derby. Are you going out to watch it tonight? What's your favorite derby? 877-881-1053. But, Brian, what the hell do you got to ask us?
Where should I stand for this thing? Should I go out in the outfield?
Yeah.
Should I be, like, in left field, right field? Where should I stand? Should I try to get a ball?
Yes, you should try and get a ball. And you should actually talk about what you've said before, which is you're willing to shove
I'm not going to shove like little kids.
No, that's what you should do.
No, you picked on the senior citizen when you were a kid.
Other adults. Like, I will shove.
No, you need to get down there and run around with the kiddos out in the outfield.
I don't think they'll let me on the field.
No, that's a liability.
I mean, I could go down afterwards and talk to whoever won.
That'd be fun.
But should I stand in which left field or right field? What do you think to get the ball, to try and get a ball? And should I go, how high up should I go? Mm. Should I go up in the second deck area?
This might be crazy, but I think when a right-hander is up, you want to go to left field. And then when a left-hander is up,
so you're saying
to go to right
run,
field.
Run from
yes.
Ooh, I kind of like what you're doing there,
a little
Dawson.
Back and forth,
thinking outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I need to go. I think I need to be in left field.
Yeah, left field.
I think left field's my best shot to get a ball.
Okay.
Just because of the way that the bleachers are constructed seats are constructed,
yeah, I feel
that overhang and right might rob you of some.
Yeah, I just wonder how high I should go up. So, I mean,
midway.
You think with my credential, I could get down there in a good spot?
Yeah, I know you can.
Like, just show it to people, like, I'm supposed to be down here.
Yeah.
Excuse me, pardon me, excuse
Probably
me.
Probably won't Absolutely. Be sellout, right?
No.
Oh, I bet you it is.
No. Good, healthy crowd, but tomorrow
I bet you I'll be battling people for a ball.
You'll definitely be battling people.
People want that ball. But
are you going to go flash some leather?
I have no glove.
You'll be okay.
I have no glove.
You're going to show up to the Home Run Derby talking about coming home with a baseball and you didn't even bring a gosh dang glove. You're really half-assing this thing. All talk, no walk.
What if I just take somebody's glove? How about that, Eric?
That'd be impressive. Now you level up.
Just like put somebody in a headlock and take their glove.
You're all bark, no bite.
You could probably go get one in the gift shop.
Yeah, you can
see if you can get the Evaldi red one.
Red one?
That thing is sick.
Nice and broken in.
972 is going. He said, if you shove me, you're going to get your ass trucked.
Oh, okay. Tell me where you're at.
Just your ass, though.
Where are you at catching balls? I'll meet you. Meet me outside, right, Dawson?
Catch me outside.
Catch me outside, right.
All right, 817's going on I-30, sitting in traffic, ready to watch El Bombi win this thing. I am too. I think if Bombi can win it, it'll go down as one of the best All-Star game moments ever.
Did we find out it's not Tony Beasley?
We did. It's not going to be Tony Beasley.
Okay, well, that bodes well.
Yeah, Tony Beasley won't be throwing to Dolly tonight. It's going to be Franmy Pena.
I'm sorry?
Franmy Pena, who threw to Julio Rodriguez last year in the Derby, so he's also got some experience doing this.
Is he like a...
Don't ask questions, Brian. You've asked enough of those.
Franmy.
I'm just asking, is he a Mariner dude?
I don't know if he's a Mariner dude. Probably just a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he just show up like no uniform? Just
I don't think he's going to be wearing a uni. I mean, maybe he'll be wearing an
Adolis. I don't care if he tosses it damn underhanded. Just
yeah, whatever he's got to do.
Make sure that's in the...
Make sure these are very
in the slot.
Baseballs.
Yeah.
This is a former player.
He knows what to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and he's got the experience. He's got the experience doing it with Julio here, so
I'm sure. Thanks for that insight.
I'm sure Bombi appreciated what he brought to the table last time and feels like he's kind of one of these home run derby pitchers that's on the ascent.
I mean, look, J-Rod knocked him out in the first round last
year. We got traffic out there on 30 already?
Apparently there are. 972 said section 123, row 14, biatch.
I'll see you there, biatch.
All right. And he also said no glove ass.
Yeah.
So we got.
Wait, has he got a glove?
We got five.
Yes. I mean, like my man Rowdy out there with a full uniform on. Is that guy Rowdy?
I don't know the best way to play this. Like, obviously, the glove is giving you a great chance to make the play, maybe saving you from broken fingers.
I'm saying ball bouncing off people, I have a better chance.
Yeah, I think so too.
With bare hands?
Then it's a foot race, dude.
No, then it's knocking people over.
Yeah. I got you.
You just want to just run somebody.
I'm going to get that guy in section 123, whatever that guy is.
Let's
call me out like
Send a name and maybe like Brian. I guess we have your number, so we'll get you guys to meet up.
Honestly, the only thing that's important to come home with last night is a full belly of mozzarella sticks. That's even more important than one of these dog balls.
I can't get anybody to text me back about the hamburger.
We've asked Casey, our buddy from.
I know he must be busy.
He's probably busy, man. All star festivities.
He probably is busy. I think that it's actually not even a. Probably he is busy.
This is the culinary capital of the world right now.
All right, okay. Number 10. This one's for Albert. We go back to 2022 final home run derby for
LSU guy.
Albert Pujols.
Oh, I bet Albert. Yeah,
did Albert go to LSU?
Albert Bell?
No, he didn't.
Joey Bell.
Joey Bell did. Now number 9. We got Dinger Mania. Gosh, I love a good dinger. 2019, Vlad Guerrero Jr. versus Jock Peterson. After Guerrero unleashed an unprecedented 29 homers in a single round to defeat Matt Chapman, both Guerrero and Peterson replicated that feat with another 29 apiece in the semifinals. This set the stage for an extraordinary sequence of not one, not two, but three swing-off tiebreakers to determine the ultimate finalists. Does anything get you going more than a swing-off tiebreaker?
I mean, especially when you talk about
a four-point play in the XFL.
Those moments are cool.
Those are badass. Yeah. I'm waiting for the swing.
When it's the showdown 1v1, and you're going to get that now in the semifinals coming up, and then obviously if it comes down to a dead tie situation, then you go sudden death on them. That's where it gets super super fun. But I do wonder just how exhausting this is for these guys.
Yeah,
it is. You know, as you get to that final round,
no doubt.
It takes a lot.
I mean, you're playing baseball, so you're probably in just horrible cardio shape.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're not in great shape just because you're a baseball player.
They just stand around and sprint like twice every 3 hours.
And these guys were exhausted. 2018, Bryce Harper.
I don't know who talks about conditioning more, you or Chief. How much thinky power clings over there?
We're talking about professional athletes, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going cubicle to cubicle trying to figure out everybody's PR across the white-collar America. Mm. We're talking about professional athletes here, dedicated to the craft. At least you hope they are. But baseball players, it's obvious. And they don't have to be in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways, they don't. I mean, Kyle Schwarber was part of this derby going up against Bryce Harper. And Kyle Schwarber is, what you say, one of the bigger athletes.
Legend.
He is. He's got a gut, and he crushes it out there.
Everybody ran a 9.5-minute mile.
Everybody keeps trying to text in about the Pluckers mozzarella sticks.
They're not the same.
Comparing them to Globe Life Field.
I think it's the same guy.
And it's not to undercut Pluckers mozzarella sticks because they're fantastic. But obviously, if you're going to get some type of cheese stick item at Pluckers, you're going for the Holy Mac anyways.
Yeah.
The
he's trying to troll you, man. It's the
batter.
Same
You know, there, I think we established this little cheese. Cayenne pepper. The cheese is outstanding.
I think it's like a pepper jack cheese that they're using in there. I think that's what the spice is.
They're hitting all the right notes with that thing, man.
They are. Aaron Judge in 2017, I would love to get him back in the Derby. That was also, he finished the season 52 home runs. I mean, that was really his coming out party, but that was an amazing Derby. Josh Hamilton in 2008, the show that he put out in New York, he hit a whopping 28 homers in the first round. And then he hit a total of 35 in the next. He doesn't end up winning it because, again, he exhausted himself there. 2002, Sammy Sosa hit a reported homer 524 feet, longest in StatCast history, which was absolutely incredible. And in 1999, we had Mark McGwire in Boston go ahead and just crush balls in the home run derby. 98, Ken Griffey Jr., he's like, I'm not going to do the derby. You know what? Bleep it. Put me into the derby. Frank Robinson changes his mind. He goes out there. He does the event for fans. And then in 1994, you had, of course, Griffey hitting the warehouse at Camden Yards.
Ooh, legendary.
One of the most historic moments in home run derby history. And I did not know this, but number one, 1991, speaking about Camden, Cal Ripken Jr. won the home run derby. Now, they are not putting up numbers like we're seeing these days. 10. So he smashes 12 home runs. Yeah. Then he hit 15 home runs. I mean, we were just talking about 28 homers in a single round.
Different format, different rules.
Very different format. Also, I mean, the power that they're hitting with today, maybe some juiced balls situation as well. I mean, whose balls are juiced?
Seriously.
But Cal Ripken's in 1991, I did not know, won the Derby, but that is one of the best moments, and hopefully we get another historic moment tonight, and it's all because of Adolis Garcia becoming the fourth person to win it in his home stadium.
I'm always disappointed when that guy, you know, steps up there in the batter's box and he's just like a regular dude, like Jock Peterson or Cal Ripken Jr. Like, I want shoulders like 4 feet wide.
3,000 straight games, regular dude.
Like, burst. You can't even pull the sleeves down on your uniform because bicep just cuts it off. I want a big Paul Bunyan son of a gun up there in these home run derbies. There's part of the aesthetic of TV, right?
There you go. There you go.
I don't want some normal looking dude. That just makes me feel like a failure.
I'm just saying, I think the home run derby would be great if dudes didn't hit home runs. If they just threw out dudes that look normal and like, oh, look, he got a hold of one.
So the non-home run derby?
A bunch of Suzuki's.
Yeah, the non-home run derby. Ichiro hitting home runs. I think that would be fascinating.
That would be kind of hilarious.
R-Dub and Argyle said, I'm taking my son to the Long Dong Derby in section 109. Come shove me, BB.
Oh, hey, that's not 109? A guy. That's not that's a guy you can shove.
Let me write that down.
No, that's a guy right there. You're not going to
R-Dub and Argyle might kick your ass.
That 109? Yeah, I'll go by and
109,
see him.
Section 109. And then somebody else is making fun of our guy in 123. He said, that's foul territory. What a joke. You're not catching a home run there. Laugh my ass off.
How?
Wow. He's a ticket holder.
That's watchdogging right there. 109, and I'm not going to foul territory.
Yeah, go to 109. 972 did ask, though, are you going to leave before the final round?
Probably.
It is a very fair question.
Like I probably will. Game. Yeah, LOL. Probably will. Beat the traffic. I'll be
I'm
right.
I'm not laughing, right. 972.
Yeah.
Alrighty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. There's Woolchuck's top 10 at 4:20 every afternoon here in
that
the
G-Bag
Nation.
That was riveting, guys. That was one of my best listeners.
That was top tier.
CY is going to join us in a week. A week from today, we'll be hearing from CY.
Wait, he's joining us now?
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
That's
you just come into your
the
head.
The old 7-day tease, man.
Yeah. You know, you gotta have all kinds of teas.
And look like a lot of people already at the game.
Man, El Bombi's rocking an awesome chain tonight. I think he's absolutely winning this thing.
It's one of the best parts of the Home Run Derby is they can come up there, put their a little unique style on it. Okay, football's finest coming up at 5:00. But why I think there is a significant silver lining if the Rangers do decide to sell, that's coming up next. We'll continue the baseball conversation with you. Buy or sell the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open for you, and we're back with that discussion here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. Football's finest is coming up at 5:00. We'll take a look at some of the top stories with the countdown to training camp. What are we now? Just 2 weeks and 2 days away from flying out there?
24?
Less than.
We're
9 days. Yeah, nine days.
Wow. Right around the corner now. 9 days away from arriving in Oxnard, California. Cannot wait. Of course, we'll be there for about a week and a half. Bryant's going to stay there for the entire training camp, and he'll be joining us live from the tennis courts throughout the duration. Okay. At 877-881-1053, how crazy do you think I am for having this baseball take right here? Leave your name and city you're texting from. They're on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. What I love about the Rangers owner is also could be very frustrating depending on how they play coming out of this All-Star break. They do open with Baltimore Friday, right?
Then the White Sox.
What I've heard is that, you know, it's not a consensus that, you know, they're going to keep going and try to defend this because, you know, the luxury tax that Ray Davis talked about on opening day in a chat that he did with the Morning News. If you guys did not see that, I would encourage everybody to go read that. The farm system, the prospects could use a boost. And, you know, going for it would exacerbate both of those issues. On top of that, you have four pitchers who are going to be free agents that, because of the luxury tax concern, would be a very long shot to re-sign you know, next year. Now, there's still a couple of weeks of baseball to play. We'll see what happens. And if they come out and go on a 10-game winning streak or, you know, take over first place in the division, I think that's a completely different conversation. But assuming the winning percentage continues to go on for the 2 weeks after the All-Star break that we've been on so far, this is the owner that is willing to go for it when things look good. But when things look bad, he's thinking long term. And I don't think it's because he's cheap. I think it's because he has a great understanding of how the luxury tax threshold works and how punitive that can be. And after you've spent all of your money, right, the only way to continue to make the team better is with prospects. And Ray talked about that in his chat as the season was getting underway. You need that long-term vision. That long-term vision is why the Mavs got Luka. It's why in the midst of a playoff hunt in 2023, they said, no, we're going to tank, and they end up with Lively. Long-term vision or lack thereof is why the Jones boys are so preoccupied with putting on a competitive football game every Sunday instead of, you know, getting their salary cap and their draft position in order. So cutting bait, I think, is one of the best things that a sports owner or front office can do. And I think a lot of times hyper-competitive people in the front office are pushing to try to make the team better at all costs. And, you know, you need a counterbalance. If that counterbalance happens to be your owner, to me, that is where, like, you have an ideal team of aggressiveness that's going to win the day when appropriate, but cutting bait and starting to build for next year is appropriate probably way more often than absolutely going for it is. And is it a tank? No. But is it long-term strategic thinking? Absolutely. So, you know, obviously going into the All-Star and you know, great tonight, Adolis is going to be there. Corey Seager makes three players in the game tomorrow. You'll be able to hear both the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game itself right here on 105.3 The Fan. But I'm sort of messing around with the idea, guys, that if they do decide to become sellers, I'm going to do myself a quiet fist pump.
I like that as just trying to keep it glass half full, staying positive, and getting that spin going a little bit before something like that could take place. And I appreciate that. This is why you do want them to make it easy on you in terms of make it obvious, you know, like one way or another, get hot or freaking start to just really, really suck here so we know for sure. It's tough when you're in this weird gray area and they've been so inconsistent and they give you flashes of, oh no, this team can still kind of rekindle some of what they had last year. And then there's times where you're like, oh my gosh, this definitely is not a playoff team. So, but I just wonder, I mean, of all the guys you're talking about selling at this point, like what are you actually getting? I think it's just more offloading small salaries and trying to just stay as fiscally responsible as possible. I don't know what you're getting in. You're selling low on basically everyone, unless it's like Kirby Yates.
I don't think you're going to stock your deal with more top 10 prospects. You'd be getting more long shot guys.
Right.
You know, so I accept that point. And, you know, maybe just holding Pat's the right thing to do in light of that idea. Well, Chuck, which way are you taking this?
Yeah, I'm okay with holding Pat because I just don't know that there's really... I think what you're hoping for the future of the second half of the season is you get Josh Young back, hopefully he's healthy. You get Evan Carter back, hopefully he's healthy. We'll see what happens with Tyler Mahle. But you're really like, okay, we're in a winnable division right now. but we need to start playing better baseball. We need to start hitting better. We need to start hitting more consistently. Our lineup needs to be working 1-9 like it did all of last year, where the bottom third of our order was getting on base. Now we're turning around. Here's Simeon going off, and we're setting things up for Siegs, and Dolly's out there playing like an ALCS MVP, right? I mean, you've had a lot of guys that have not played up to their standard, and you've started to see some of them click and turn it around. Nathaniel Lowe had a much better month. Adolis Garcia's playing much better. I just don't think prospects is such a, it's a difficult game to juggle. And right now, I don't know that you're going to be giving up anybody to where you're getting anything that's like that much ammunition for the future. So I'm okay with staying pat. I definitely don't want to sell, if you think you got a chance to win this division, Kirby Yates or David Robertson. Michael Lorenzen feels like that's a surplus that maybe you can give up. And we've seen him fatigue in the second half. But I think other Major League Baseball owners know that too, right? So how much are you going to get for a guy like Michael Lorenzen? But I do think right now you're going to have to overpay, and that's not necessarily something I want to do for some hitters right now. If you want to add a bat, that I don't know how much they're really going to help you.
Oh, I'll be shocked if they buy anything. If they make a trade to add to them, like I think the only thing that if you're really hoping that they're going all in on the season, it's just that they're getting their guys back and they're not selling a bunch of parts. Yeah. I don't think they're doing any sort of buying. Ray
it would be
Davis,
too difficult.
Yeah, he's not trying to spend any extra dollars.
Add another bullpen piece that's controllable, potentially. Yeah. I mean, because Yates and Robertson are expiring after this year.
We're always on the lookout for trades, good trades for long-term players.
Yeah.
But as far as acquiring guys at the deadline, they're going to help this year. And
like not rental pieces at all.
No. And I totally agree with that. I think I just love knowing, though, that Ray Davis is of that mindset. He is fully committed to this, understands assets, liabilities in the context of baseball. He's owned the team for a long time. I think he's paid a lot of attention, and he's not just a passenger on the train or somebody actively working against you because they care more about TV ratings. This is the kind of owner that you want, Brian.
You're averaging about 33,000 fans a game. You know, and I know you got the World Series for him last year, but wouldn't you want to kind of make sure that, I mean, I know that's the 11th best in the league when it comes to attendance. The TV thing is a problem here. We've documented that. But don't you feel like you do owe some more to the fans who've been with you throughout? You got this new stadium. It's revenue generator the way it is. I mean, I understand big picture and all that. And he spent, $500 million on players last year. And you also won a World Series. But I think you got a fan base here that doesn't want to be one and done.
No.
They're showing up at, they're showing up at a 33,000 per game clip there. TV or not, you're making money. If this was one of those teams, think about if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're averaging 21,000 people, I get it. But you're 11th best attended stadium in the league. Is there any loyalty to your fans for showing up every day?
Yeah, I think there is. He spent as much as he has. Once you go over, though, it's a 20% tax. The next year, 30%. Sure. The year after that, 50%. Yeah. So it can become quite punitive.
Yeah, it can. It can. But you're also, though, your fan base will hopefully make up for the things that are very punitive that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you won the World Series. You have the 11th best attendance. What extent are they?
To me, I think that if you keep this thing, keep this thing going, the fans have been loyal throughout. You did give them a championship last year, but why now one and done? We complained about the Cowboys. They hadn't won a championship in 30 years.
Yeah.
And here you're on the, you're on the brink of, you got some young players, you got some high priced players. I think you owe it to your fan base to keep pushing as hard as you can, because their loyalty to you is showing up every night and spending money and buying all the jerseys and buying all the hats and stuff like that. That's how the fans pay you back.
All the pizza dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any of the players that you would sell, like somebody texted, like you got Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran for Joey Gallo. I hear you. Who's the Joey Gallo you're going to trade? right? If you're going to trade right now, you're trading a rental piece for that team in a Kirby Yates, who's an all-star. That's a player that everybody's going to want. Max Scherzer said he's not waiving his no trade. If you really want to be sellers and you want to get something, you're calling the Baltimore Orioles or you're calling the Phillies, you're calling one of these contending teams, you're saying, hey, do you want Scherzer and Yates? That's not costing you your future. You're not mortgaging your future. You're still going to compete next year by doing that. But Scherzer wants to be here. At least that's what he said now. It's 2 or 3 weeks. If they go on a losing streak, is that going to change his mind? I don't know. But yeah. I don't know that they're going to be sellers.
I think Yates
right
has been one of the best closers and Robertson's been one of the best setup men, though. If you would offer them, I think you're cleaning up.
That's your best chance to acquire like some substantial prospects.
That's also that's your really ultimate. That's your ultimate. We're done with this season.
But now all of a sudden you got no chance.
Okay, an addition of the finest coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking it?
A dolphin has poked the bear. We got some road shenanigans, and people are calling his latest stunt the most Jerry move of all time. That's next here in the Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Football's finest is coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll take a look at some of the top stories with the countdown to training camp. What are we now, just 2 weeks and 2 days away from flying out there?
24?
Less than.
Nine days.
Wow. Right around the corner now. 9 days away from arriving in Oxnard, California. Cannot wait. Of course, we'll be there for about a week and a half. Bryant's going to stay there for the entire training camp, and he'll be joining us live from the tennis courts throughout the duration. Okay. At 877-881-1053, how crazy do you think I am for having this baseball take right here? Leave your name and city you're texting from. They're on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. What I love about the Rangers owner is also could be very frustrating depending on how they play coming out of this all-star break. They do open with Baltimore Friday, right?
Then the White Sox.
What I've heard is that, you know, it's not a consensus that, you know, they're going to keep going and try to defend this because, you know, the luxury tax that Ray Davis talked about on opening day in a chat that he did with the Morning News. If you guys did not see that, I would encourage everybody to go read that. The farm system, the prospects could use a boost. And, you know, going for it would exacerbate both of those issues. On top of that, you have four pitchers who are going to be free agents that, because of the luxury tax concern, would be a very long shot to re-sign you know, next year. Now, there's still a couple of weeks of baseball to play. We'll see what happens. And if they come out and go on a 10-game winning streak or, you know, take over first place in the division, I think that's a completely different conversation. But assuming the winning percentage continues to go on for the 2 weeks after the All-Star break that we've been on so far, this is the owner that is willing to go for it when things look good. But when things look bad, he's thinking long term. And I don't think it's because he's cheap. I think it's because he has a great understanding of how the luxury tax threshold works and how punitive that can be. And after you've spent all of your money, right, the only way to continue to make the team better is with prospects. And Ray talked about that in his chat as the season was getting underway. You need that long-term vision. That long-term vision is why the Mavs got Luka. It's why in the midst of a playoff hunt in 2023, they said, no, we're going to tank, and they end up with Lively. Long-term vision or lack thereof is why the Jones boys are so preoccupied with putting on a competitive football game every Sunday instead of, you know, getting their salary cap and their draft position in order. So cutting bait, I think, is one of the best things that a sports owner or front office can do. And I think a lot of times hyper-competitive people in the front office are pushing to try to make the team better at all costs. And, you know, you need a counterbalance. If that counterbalance happens to be your owner, to me, that is where, like, you have an ideal team of aggressiveness that's going to win the day when appropriate, but cutting bait and starting to build for next year is appropriate probably way more often than absolutely going for it is. And is it a tank? No. But is it long-term strategic thinking? Absolutely. So, you know, obviously going into the All-Star and you know, great tonight, Adolis is going to be there. Corey Seager makes three players in the game tomorrow. You'll be able to hear both the Home Run Derby and the All-Star game itself right here on 105.3 The Fan. But I'm sort of messing around with the idea, guys, that if they do decide to become sellers, I'm going to do myself a quiet fist pump.
I like that as just trying to keep it glass half full, staying positive, and getting that spin going a little bit before something like that could take place. And I appreciate that. This is why you do want them to make it easy on you in terms of make it obvious, you know, like one way or another, get hot or freaking start to just really, really suck here so we know for sure. It's tough when you're in this weird gray area and they've been so inconsistent and they give you flashes of, oh, no, this team can still kind of rekindle some of what they had last year. And then there's times where you're like, oh, my gosh, this definitely is not a playoff team. So, but I just wonder, I mean, of all the guys you're talking about selling at this point, like what are you actually getting? I think it's just more offloading small salaries and trying to just stay as fiscally responsible as possible. I don't know what you're getting in. You're selling low on basically everyone, unless it's like, Kirby Yates.
I don't think you're going to stock your deal with more top 10 prospects. You'd be getting more long shot guys.
Right.
You know, so I accept that point. And, you know, maybe just holding Pat's the right thing to do in light of that idea. Well, Chuck, which way are you taking this?
Yeah, I'm okay with holding Pat because I just don't know that there's really... I think what you're hoping for the future of the second half of the season is you get Josh Young back, hopefully he's healthy. You get Evan Carter back, hopefully he's healthy. We'll see what happens with Tyler Mahle. But you're really like, okay, we're in a winnable division right now, but we need to start playing better baseball. We need to start hitting better. We need to start hitting more consistently. Our lineup needs to be working 1-9 like it did all of last year, where the bottom third of our order was getting on base. Now we're turning around. Here's Simeon going off, and we're setting things up for Siegs, and Dolly's out there playing like an ALCS MVP, right? I mean, you've had a lot of guys that have not played up to their standard, and you've started to see some of them click and turn it around. Nathaniel Lowe had a much better month. Adolis Garcia's playing much better. I just don't think prospects is such a, it's a difficult game to juggle. And right now, I don't know that you're going to be giving up anybody to where you're getting anything that's like that much ammunition for the future. So I'm okay with staying Pat. I definitely don't want to sell, if you think you got a chance to win this division, Kirby Yates or David Robertson. Michael Lorenzen feels like that's a surplus that maybe you can give up. And we've seen him fatigue in the second half. But I think other Major League Baseball owners know that too, right? So how much are you going to get for a guy like Michael Lorenzen? But I do think right now you're going to have to overpay, and that's not necessarily something I want to do for some hitters right now. If you want to add a bat, that I don't know how much they're really going to help you.
Oh, I'll be shocked if they buy anything. If they make a trade to add to them, like I think the only thing that if you're really hoping that they're going all in on the season, it's just that they're getting their guys back and they're not selling a bunch of parts. Yeah. I don't think they're doing any sort of buying. Ray
it would be
Davis,
too difficult.
Yeah, he's not trying to spend any extra dollars.
Add another bullpen piece that's controllable, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, because Yates and Robertson are expiring after this year.
We're always on the lookout for trades, good trades for long-term players.
Yeah.
But as far as acquiring guys at the deadline, they're going to help this year. And
like not rental pieces at all.
No, and I totally agree with that. I think I just love knowing, though, that Ray Davis is of that mindset. He is fully committed to this, understands assets, liabilities in the context of baseball. He's owned the team for a long time. I think he's paid a lot of attention, and he's not just a passenger on the train or somebody actively working against you because they care more about TV ratings. This is the kind of owner that you want, Brian.
You're averaging about 33,000 fans a game. You know, and I know you got the World Series for him last year, but wouldn't you want to kind of make sure that, I mean, I know that's the 11th best in the league when it comes to attendance. The TV thing is a problem here. We've documented that. But don't you feel like you do owe some more to the fans who've been with you throughout? You got this new stadium. It's revenue generator the way it is. I mean, I understand big picture and all that. And you know, and he spent, you know, $500 million on players last year. And you also won a World Series. But I think you got a fan base here that doesn't want to be one and done.
No,
you know, they're showing up at, you know, they're showing up at a 33,000 per game clip there. TV or not, you're making money. You know, if this was one of those teams, you know, think about if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates and you're averaging 21,000 people, I get it, you know, but you're 11th best attended stadium in the league. You know, is there any loyalty to your fans for showing up every day?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think maybe that's why he spent as much as he has. Once you go over, though, it's a 20% tax. The next year, 30%. Sure. The year after that, 50%. So yeah. It can become quite punitive.
Yeah, it can. It can. But you're also, though, your fan base will hopefully make up for the things that are very punitive that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, you won the World Series. You have the 11th best attendance. To what extent are they?
To me, I think that if you keep this thing, you know, keep this thing going, you know, the fans have been loyal throughout. You did give them a championship last year, but why now one and done? You know, we complained about the Cowboys. They hadn't won a championship in 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, and here you're on the, you know, you're on the brink of, you've got some young players. You got some high priced players. You know, I think you owe it to your fan base to keep pushing as hard as you can, because their loyalty to you is showing up every night and spending money and buying all the jerseys and buying all the hats and stuff like that. That's how the fans pay you back.
All the pizza dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any of the players that you would sell, like somebody texted, like, you got Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran for Joey Gallo. I hear you. Who's the Joey Gallo you're going to trade? Right, if you're going to trade right now, you're trading a rental piece for that team in a Kirby Yates, who's an all-star. That's a player that everybody's going to want. Max Scherzer said he's not waiving his no trade. If you really want to be sellers and you want to get something, you're calling the Baltimore Orioles or you're calling the Phillies, you're calling one of these contending teams, you're saying, hey, do you want Scherzer and Yates? That's not costing you your future. You're not mortgaging your future. You're still going to compete next year by doing that, but Scherzer wants to be here. At least that's what he said now. It's 2 or 3 weeks. If they go on a losing streak, is that going to change his mind? I don't know, but yeah. I don't know that they're going to be sellers.
I think Yates has been one of the best closers and Robertson's been one of the best setup men, though. If you would offer them, I think you're cleaning up.
That's your best chance to acquire like some substantial prospects.
That's also your ultimate. We're done with this season.
But all of a sudden you got no chance.
Okay, in addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking it?
A dolphin has poked the bear. We got some road shenanigans, and people are calling his latest stunt the most Jerry move of all time. That's next here in the Nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.